ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we'll continue today with the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, who comes in the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu's son is Uttanapada, and Uttanapada's son is Dhruva Maharaj. This whole of fourth canto is discussion of more or less, except for the first few chapters talking about Daksha's pastime. The rest of the fourth canto is discussing Uttanapada's lineage, in one sense. Dhruva Maharaj, then Vena, Prithu Maharaj, then subsequently Prachetas, then Prachina Barhi. So all these full rest of fourth canto is discussion of the genealogical line of Uttanapada only, the son of Swayambhuva Manu. So today we'll start the 11th chapter. Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. Very nice chapter where Swayambhuva Manu will advise Dhruva Maharaj to give up unnecessary anger. So that's the subject matter that we are going to see today. So in the previous chapter ended with Dhruva Maharaj having a very bitter fight with the Yakshas. Sometimes the Yakshas gained upper hand, or it seemed that the Yakshas gained upper hand, and sometimes Dhruva Maharaj gained upper hand. And towards the end of the chapter it seemed like we saw that the Yakshas were creating so much illusion, and suddenly it seemed like Dhruva Maharaj had no clue. And at that point the sages, they came and what did they say? They indicated that you should take shelter of Lord Narayan. That just by chanting his holy name, one can achieve liberation. So, like that they indicated. So, Dhruva Maharaj understood that they are reminding him to use the Narayan Astra. So now, this chapter will start from where we left off. So most likely till 18th is your last date, right? 17th or 18th? Which one? 17th. So most likely till 17th I think I will take. So we have the if some chapter we want to elaborate more, we can do that. Some chapter we want to rush little fast, you know, because it's just a story, we can rush. So that luxury is there, you know. Gauranga Vaishnava Prabhu would most likely expect me to, you know, okay, from this day to this day, you know, complete so many chapters. He need not micromanage the chapters. So that gives us some leeway. So some very instructive sections, we will take some time, prayers, those kind of sections. Story is there, not much purpose, we can rush also. So this is a very nice chapter. Swayambhuva Manu's very nice instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. So we will discuss this chapter today. So the story continues. Maitreya uvacha nishamya gavatam evam rishi nam danushi druvaha sandade astram upasprishya yannarayana nirmitam. Nishamya evam rishinam gadatam. Thus hearing what the rishis hinted to Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruvaha upasprishya. Upasprishya means to perform achaman. Jalam upasprishya. By performing achaman, sandade astram yad Narayana nirmitam. He strung an arrow made by Narayan, or he used the Narayan astra. Dhanushi, he put the Narayan astra to his bow. So whenever certain kind of astras like the Brahmastra are they need to be invoked, one has to purify oneself. Even in the first canto, if you see, Arjuna first performs achaman and then only he invokes the Brahmastra. So it's not, it's much more subtler science, and which in requires one to have a certain level of purity. Otherwise not anyone can invoke a Brahmastra like that. So here also we see that Dhruva Maharaj first performs his achaman and then invokes the Narayanastra. Prabhupada led an interesting purport here. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mameve prapadyante maya metam tarantite. No one can overcome maya without Narayan. Dhruva Maharaj is being bewildered by the illusion. So therefore the sages suggested take shelter of Narayan through his Narayan Astra. Same thing Prabhupada quotes, the Lord also tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Mameve prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Only if you take shelter of me, you can overcome maya. So that's what he is doing here. But here he is taking shelter of Narayan through his Narayan Astra. And Prabhupada says, the Narayan Astra for this age is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In pursuance of the Panchatattva. They have shown the way that the Narayan Astra for this age to overcome the influence of Maya is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Like that. Like any achaman is a way of purification. Even for performing while performing deity worship, it's a way of purification, just like taking bath. And while performing achaman, you chant the holy names of the full achaman includes all the holy names of the Supreme Lord, so it purifies you internally and externally. So any sacred act, especially related to the Supreme Lord, when it needs to be performed, it has to start with achaman. It's like a substitute for bathing in one sense. Achaman, argya, padya, many things are there. Still they perform, because bathing purifies externally. Achaman also purifies internally, because it involves chanting the holy names of the Lord. Keshavayana, Narayana, and so on.
Sandiyamana etasmin maya guyyaka nirmitaha kshipram vineshur vidura klesha jnanodaye yata. O Vidura, Sandiyamana etasmin. Etasmin means this particular weapon, Narayanastra. Sandiyamana. When Dhruva Maharaj employed this Narayanastra, maya, guhyaka nirmitaha maya, that illusion created by the guhyakas or the yakshas, kshipram vineshuhu, immediately destroyed. As soon as it is not even mentioned that He put it on his, he strung the weapon on his bow. Immediately disappeared.
Klesha jnanodaye yata. Just as suffering disappeared with the dawn of knowledge, similarly, the illusion disappeared as soon as the Narayan Astra was strung on his bow. Or it was used also, because it is mentioned, employed. Employed could mean he released it also probably. Okay. So, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andakar, Yaha Krishna Taha Nai, Maya Radhika. Here Krishna is appearing in the form of his Narayan Astra. That's all. It was not even released. Yeah. Probably. Okay. And again Prabhupada quotes the same thing. So Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakar. Prabhupada says that in this, again he mentions that in this Kali Yuga, this Narayan Astra is chanting.
Tasyarsha astram danushi prayunjata suvarna punka kalahamsa.
What do I do now? Acha? I have to wait. Can I? Acha? Oh my God. Okay. Hey, what the shuru is Wi-Fi to switched off here. Okay, no need for PPT also. Let's continue. I don't know how long will this take. Long time? Or should I just shut it down and switch it off? At least if this fellow is not coming.
Roji, we have the PPT.
Huh? Oh, he has the PPT, okay. Oh, then you connect that laptop. No? Okay, we will continue.
Suvarna punka kalahamsa vasasa vinisrita vishadbalam yatavanam bhimaravashikandina.
When Dhruva Maharaj fixed the weapon on his bow, golden arrows with feathers from swans fired out upon the enemy like the frightening sounds of peacocks in the forest. It was with sound effect. So okay. So with peacock sounds it started rushing towards the enemy.
Taistigma dharair pradane shili mukhair itastata punya jana upadruta tamadya dhavan kupita udayuda suparna munnadda pana ivahaya
upadrutaha. Tai shili mukhaihi upadruta, oppressed by the arrows. Tigma dharaihi, which had sharp points. Itas tataha pradane, present everywhere in the battlefield, the yakshas angrily rushed at Dhruva with raised weapons, like snakes with raised hoods attacking Garuda. Again, here, the analogy, you see, snakes attacking Garuda.
they can never be successful. So here it is Dhruva Maharaj is compared to Dhruva, to Garuda, and the Yakshas are compared to snakes, which means they stand no chance.
Satan prishatkai rabidhavato mrude nikritta bahuru shirodaro daran ninaya lokam paramarka mandalam vrajanti nirvidyaya murdvaretasa.
Tan mrude abidhavataha, attacked by the yakshas on the battlefield. Saha nikritta bahu uru shirodara udaran. Dhruva Maharaj cut off their arms, thighs, necks and torsos. Pushakkaihi, with his arrows. Ninaya lokam vrajanti param yam urdvaretasa. And he sent them to that planet which is where the brahmacharis go. Urdvaretasa means those who practice brahmacharya as their prime spiritual practice. That is their prime practice. Nirvidya Arkamandalam, which is present beyond the sun planet. Nirvidya Arkamandalam. So here Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur mentions that and Prabhupada also mentions the same thing in his purport. Param indicates Satyaloka, which means the planet of Brahmaji. Param. Param yam urdvaretasah. Vrajanti param means they go to Satyaloka. So by perfectly practicing Brahmacharya, one can go till Satyaloka. Because of being killed by the hand of a devotee, they got special elevation. Otherwise, these soldiers by themselves, they are not perfect practitioners of Brahmacharya. But because Dhruva Maharaj was special, when his arrows killed these soldiers, they got elevation to the same planet which perfect Naishthika Brahmacharis go after passing away. But they do not attain liberation with the Urdhvaretasa at the end of Brahma's life. At the end of Brahma's life, they do not automatically attain liberation just because they have perfectly followed Brahmacharya. Because just by perfectly following Brahmacharya, one cannot achieve liberation. This is because one can get that kind of liberation only if he is killed by Krishna himself, like that. Or at least on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna killed Parthastra Puta Padamapurasya, it is mentioned. So at least they got the darshan of Krishna himself standing on the battlefield when they passed away. But in this case, it was not the case. Dhruva Maharaj just killed them, and because Dhruva Maharaj happened to be a great devotee of the Lord, they could go till Satyaloka. But at the end of Brahmaji's life, it's not that they automatically attained liberation. Okay? Not everyone staying in Satyaloka automatically becomes liberated. Not even Brahmaji. If Brahmaji himself is not qualified, at the end of his lifetime, it's not that he automatically goes back home, back to Godhead, or he attains liberation. He has to come back. Okay. So, the Kramamuktas that we saw, the attached yogis, they go. So Prabhupada also mentions the same thing about them going to Satyaloka in the purport. And further Prabhupada writes therefore killing is not always bad, Prabhupada says. The act of killing in itself is not always bad. To be killed by the Lord or his devotees or in a sacrifice is for the benefit of the entity that is being killed. because they attained liberation or a favorable destination at least. Okay, even a murderer must be killed by the king. When he is killed, it clears that murderer of all sins. Therefore, it is good for the murderer. So, therefore, Prabhupada says that, you know, improper, the principle of non-violence should not be improperly applied to practically everything. That kind of non-violence, our Vedic science does not subscribe to. Wherever it is necessary, one has to be killed. And that kind of killing is not always bad. And Prabhupada is explaining this here. In the case of Kshatriyas fighting on the battlefield. Krishna also says, Hatova prapsasi swargam. Jitvava bokshase mahim. He says that. So that is one thing. You know, even killing can, by killing so many people, one can actually get elevated. Yuddhaya vigata jvara. What is it? Krita nischaya. Yuddhaya krita nischaya, Krishna says. So, therefore, with determination fight, of course, Krishna here is addressing Arjuna on a low level, that you will at least attain Swarga. But the point is that, Prabhupada is also indicating here that no act is inherently pious or impious. No act is inherently pious or impious. If you see throughout scriptures, you cannot point out any one act which is inherently pious or impious. It depends on, for example, if you say, how can you say that not following the injunctions of the spiritual master or one's teacher is an impious act, anyone who may perform? Not necessarily. Bali Maharaj performed it. He disrespected his own teacher. One may say, killing one's mother, definitely an impious act. Parashuram killed his own mother, not considered impious. So that way you see, just by merely observing an act, one cannot say that it is a pious act or an impious act. It depends on what is the qualification of the person who is performing it. What is his prescribed duty? Under what circumstances he performs? So therefore, the principles of dharma are very complicated. It changes from place to place, from varna to varna. And in seventh canto you will see, you know, there is extensive discussion of apat dharma. When under a particular situation, a person is not able to perform his own dharma, what are the other allowable dharma, which under normal circumstances, if he had performed, it would be an impious act. But under such other circumstances, it becomes a pious act. So therefore, no act is inherently pious or impious. It depends on the performer. It depends on the circumstances. So, it's like very complicated. So, here Prabhupada is mentioning the same thing. You cannot say that ahimsa paramo dharma. It is not like that. What constitutes ahimsa changes from place to place. Ahimsa paramo dharma is, ahimsa is a very important principle. But how to apply the principle of ahimsa, it changes from circumstances to circumstances. Like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport about urdhvaretasa, about celibacy. So Prabhupada says, even if one has not performed tapasya, rituals, etc., still just by not discharging semen, he is automatically elevated to satyaloka. Not Brahman. Satyaloka. Till satyaloka he can go. Sex life is restricted in Vedic system by allowing only the grihasthas, because it is the main cause of entanglement. Only for grihasthas it is allowed. The urdhvaretasa especially indicates the mayavadi sannyasis, because there primarily they concentrate on celibacy and austerities like that. they consider themselves liberated, vimukta manina. But it is not possible for them to attain actual liberation unless they perform devotional service. Therefore, they have to come back. So therefore, when it is mentioned that aruhya krichrena param padam, with great difficulty they attain the param padam. What is the param padam? Satyaloka, not liberation. Here also that Satyaloka is addressed as param. So aruhya krichrena, with great difficulty aruhya, they go till their param padam. Then patantyado, because it, here also it is mentioned that that such people do not attain liberation at the end of Brahmaji's life, because mere practice of brahmacharya is not sufficient to take one back home, back to God. One has to practice bhakti. So therefore here Prabhupada mentions that the urdhva retasa refers generally to the mayavadi sannyasis, because that is one of their prime practices, like that. Is it clear? Tan hanyamana nabiviksha guyyakan anagasas chitravatena bhurisha autana padam kritaya pitamaho manur jagado pagatas sahasvidi. Bhurishaha anagasaha tan guhyakan abiviksha. Seeing that so many anagasaha, anagha means sinless, so many innocent yakshas, chitravatena hanyamanan, being killed by Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that so many innocent yakshas were being killed by Dhruva Maharaj, pitamaha manuhu, Manu, Swayambhu Manuhu was the grandfather of Dhruva Maharaj, saha rishibhi, along with the other rishis, Uttanapadim upagataha, they approached the son of Uttanapad, Dhruva Maharaj. Kripaya jagada, and out of great compassion, Swayambhu Manu spoke to Dhruva Maharaj. Not in that sense, devotees are empowered also to, but in this case, the purpose, it's not that he is on a preaching assignment, in one sense, if you see Dhruva Maharaj. Of course, the purpose was killing, but still, that elevated them to the position of Satyaloka, which is like a quite an elevated position considering their own qualifications. At the most, if they had died on the battlefield in a rightful battle, they would have gone only to Swargaloka. Krishna himself tells Arjuna, Hatova Prapsisi Swargam. If you die on the battlefield, Arjuna, you will go to Swarga. Okay. But here is people killed by Dhruva Maharaj. They are going till Satyaloka, which is like a amazing elevation in one sense.
Correct.
Yeah. But definitely the presence of a devotee has its effect, because that person who has killed is a devotee, so therefore, you know, elevation till Brahmaloka is allowed, but liberation, only the presence of the Supreme Lord has to be there. Either the Supreme Lord has to personally kill, or he has to be present in the battlefield so that people can take darshan of the Supreme Lord and then give up their body, like that. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Swayambhu Manu was not supporting this wholesale attack for the mistake of just one yaksha. Therefore, he came to stop this whole affair.
Manur uvacha alamvas alamvatsati roshena tamodvarena tatmana yena punya jananetan avadistvam anagasah.
So, starting from here till the end of this chapter, Swayambhu Manu is going to instruct Dhruva Maharaj on various levels. Okay? Now only I am telling, this is the question for, this is the only question, 50 marks. Actually, it should be more than 50 marks, but so you have to write the whole series of instructions along with important points from the purport. You need not present all the important points from all the purports, at least some prominent important points from the purports you can do the only. So starting from 7th till the end he is going to instruct. So this is the only question. And few important shlokas you may also have to quote. Okay. I would say this is like 100 marks. Okay, let's see. Okay. So he says, "Oh Vatsa, my dear son, alam atiroshena." Alam means it's enough. Stop it now. Alam atiroshena. Enough with this excessive anger. Tamo dvarena patmana. This will become, this will pave the way for ignorance. Tamo dvarena patmana, the sinful path to ignorance. Yena, by such excessive anger, avadi tvam, you have killed. Etan anagasah punya janan. You have killed so many innocent yakshas. Prabhupada says here, he could have directly told yaksha janan, or he could have told, the other words used to address these yakshas. But here, they are also called punya jana. But specifically, he is using the word punya jana to address the yakshas, to indicate that they are like sinless. What did they do? One yaksha killed your brother, no doubt. But what did all these other yakshas do? Why you are doing like this? So stop this excessive anger, which is the path to ignorance. Like that he is indicating. So Prabhupada writes here, commenting on this word, ati roshena. He doesn't say roshena. He says ati roshena, means too much anger, excessive, unnecessary anger is not good. So Prabhupada commenting on this says, it means unnecessary anger. Killing is not bad, but when that killing is done unnecessarily, it opens the path to hell. Therefore Swayambhu Manu came to protect Dhruva Maharaj. Swayambhu Manu did not want other innocent yakshas to die. But in modern warfare, innocent citizens are attacked for no fault of theirs. This is very sinful. In modern warfare, bombs are dropped not on the battlefield but earlier. Okay, and innocent citizens are killed. Prabhupada says that this was not the Vedic way of fighting. But this mass attack on innocent citizens, Prabhupada, very interesting point he is writing here. But sometimes, how would you then explain this mass attack? Prabhupada says, but this mass attack on innocent citizens is due to maintaining slaughterhouses. The sinful reaction for this comes in the form of such attacks. This is nature's law. Because there is mass, maintaining this mass slaughterhouses, that's why reaction to that comes in the form of such massive attacks on innocent public also, like that.
నాస్మత్కులోచితంతాత కర్మే తత్ సద్విగర్హితం యదో యత్ ఉపదేవానాం ఆరబ్ధస్తే కృతైనసాం.
ఓ తాత, మై డియర్ సన్, ఏతత్ కర్మ ఆరబ్ధస్తే, దిస్ యాక్ట్ దట్ యు హవ్ స్టార్టెడ్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్, వదః అకృత ఏనసాం ఉపదేవానాం వదః, దిస్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ కిల్లింగ్ దీస్ ఇన్నసెంట్ యక్షస్ నా అస్మత్ కుల ఉచితం, నో వన్ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఫ్యామిలీ లీనియేజ్ హ్యాస్ ఎవర్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ సచ్ అన్ యాక్ట్. సద్ విగర్హితం, ఎనీ వర్చువస్ పర్సన్ వుడ్ కండెమ్ దిస్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్స్, దిస్ ఇస్ సర్టన్లీ నాట్ బిఫిటింగ్. దిస్ ఇస్ లైక్ ఎ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ అండ్ కృష్ణ టైమ్ అండ్ అగైన్ యూసెస్ ఇట్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత ఆల్సో, ది అడ్రెసింగ్ అర్జున యాజ్ కౌంటేయ, భారత, సియర్ లీనియేజ్, కుతస్త్వ కష్మలమిదం విషమే సముపస్థితం నారజుష్టం అస్వర్గ్యం అకీర్తికరం. యునో లైక్ ఇన్ వెన్ ఎవర్ హీ హాస్ చాస్టైజ్, యూనో హీ ఆల్వేస్ అడ్రెసెస్ హిమ్ యాజ్ భారత కౌంతేయ టు రిమైండ్ హిమ్ దట్ సియర్ గ్లోరియస్ లీనియేజ్. ఈస్ దర్ ఎనీ ప్రెసిడెంట్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ లీనియేజ్ వేర్ పీపుల్ హావ్ యాక్టెడ్ లైక్ దిస్? So, here also he is mentioning the same thing, that na asmat kula uchitam, this is certainly not befitting our family, and any virtuous person would condemn such an act, so stop it. So then he continues,
nanu ekasya paradena prasangat bahavo hataha భ్రాతుర్వదాభిపత్తేన త్వయాంగ భ్రాతృవత్సల.
ఓ అంగర్, మై డియర్ సన్, భ్రాతృవత్సల, ఐ నో దట్ యు ఆర్ వెరీ అఫెక్షనేట్ టు యువర్ బ్రదర్, యు నీడ్ నాట్ సో ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్లీ షో ఇట్ టు అదర్స్, యు నీడ్ నాట్ ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్లీ షో యువర్ అఫెక్షన్ టు యువర్ బ్రదర్ బై సచ్ అన్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ కిలింగ్. భ్రాతృ భ్రాతుర్ వద అభిపత్తేన, ఐ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ యు ఆర్ వెరీ మచ్ అగ్రీడ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద డెత్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ బ్రదర్. త్వయా బహవో హతాహ, యు హావ్ కిల్డ్ సో మెనీ యక్షస్, బట్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇస్ ఏకస్య అపరాధేన, ఓన్లీ వన్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ కమిటెడ్ దిస్ ఆఫెన్స్. ప్రసంగాద్, బికాస్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు దిస్ వన్ యక్ష who killed your brother, that is not a sufficient reason for you to kill all of them. Okay? Just because they are connected. Okay? You kill only that person who has killed your brother unjustly. After verifying if it was an unjust killing, you kill him, no problem. But just because one yaksha killed, it does not mean that you go out and try to wipe out the whole Yaksha clan. That's not a very good thing to do. Then he says,
Nayam margohi sadhu nam rishikeshanu vartinam yadatmanam paragrihya pashuvat bhuta vaishasam.
Bhuta vaishasam, killing of living entities, pashuvat. Yes, killing of living entities is okay. Kshatriyas, they can do. One of the main things that they have to do is to kill on the battlefield for protecting. But this killing that you are doing is Pashuvat Bhuta Vaishasam. This is animal-like killing. Why? Yet Atmanam Paragrahya. Because this kind of killing is performed by accepting the body as the self. ఆత్మానం పరాగృహ్య. నహి అయం మార్గ రిషికేశ అనువర్తినాం సాధూనాం, దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ సర్టన్లీ ది పాత్ దట్ ఈస్ ఫాలోడ్ బై ది డివోటీస్. రిషికేశ అనువర్తినాం సాధూనాం న అయం న మార్గ, దిస్ ఇస్ సర్టన్లీ నాట్ ది పాత్ of the devotees of the Lord. Rishikesha anuvartinam sadhunam na margaha. Because this is, you have now crossed the limit, and the, you know, your fighting is on the bodily platform now. Fighting for a kshatriya is okay, but your fighting is on the bodily platform. So therefore this is not right. So Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur mentions here that if the devotees do not come under material affection, then certainly they should not come under violence also. On the material platform, affection is wrong. One should certainly have affection to living entities on the spiritual platform, but on the material platform, even affection is wrong. Then what then to speak of performing violence on the level of bodily platform? He is my brother, and whoever killed my brother, I will kill him. That is the bodily platform. As a king, you mete out justice only to the extent it is necessary. But just because that person who was killed happened to be your brother, you are overdoing this, which means you are certainly acting on the platform of body. So Prabhupada commenting on Rishikesha Anuvartinam Sadhunam, Prabhupada says, sadhu means engaging his senses in Rishikesh service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, and not sense gratification of killing. Here the sense gratification mentioned is killing. Only animals kill each other for sense gratification. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj is advised to refrain from such an act of killing on the platform of sense gratification. Sarva bhutatma bhavena bhuta vasam harim bhavan aradhya padurādhyam vishnos tatparamam padam. Then he is reminding Dhruva Maharaj that, do you remember, my dear Dhruva, harim aradhya, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, okay, bhavan apa, you achieved vishnos tatparamam padam. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Lord already came, gave darshan to you, promised you his abode and went back. So think what you have achieved. The Lord personally came and promised you that you will attain Vaikuntha. So therefore, how can a person who is bound to go to Vaikuntha act like this? Because Vatrahan Sindhu also mentions that for a person to act, a person should neither act beyond his qualification nor should he act below his qualification. Both are sinful. He has to act according to his qualification. Okay, so if he is qualified for a devotee, if he is qualified to act in devotional service, if he has the qualification to act on the platform of devotional service, acting below that qualification is sinful. Which means, even if that may be perfect according to Varnashram, according to the Varnashram, according to the Varnashram requirements, according to that particular person's Varnashram, it may be an appropriate act, but if that act of Varnashram is against the rules of bhakti, then it is a sinful act. So here Dhruva Maharaj is acting below his qualification. His qualification is, he is a perfected devotee, ready to go back home, back to Godhead. But he is acting on the bodily platform, which is inappropriate. That's what Swayambhu Manu is hinting here. It's not good. Do you remember the Lord personally came, gave you a darshan and told you are qualified to go back home, back to Vaikuntha? At the end of this lifetime, you'll go back home, back to Vaikuntha. So how can you act like this? this is acting below your qualification. So this is sinful. And who is that Supreme Lord? He says, Durarajyam. He is rarely worshipped. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschinmam yati tatputaha. So it is very rare to worship the Supreme Lord. Bhutayasam. And that Supreme Lord is the abode of all beings. Sarva bhutatma bhavena. With the understanding that he is within all beings. He says that when you worship the Supreme Lord, you had the perfect understanding. You understood that that Supreme Lord is within all the beings. Can't you see it now? Can't you see now that the same Supreme Lord is within these yakshas also? What happened to your understanding? That's what he is trying to indicate to Dhruva Maharaj. I am not telling you anything new. You employed this understanding and performed your austerities and achieved the desired result also. But now why you are acting like this? Like that he is trying to encourage Dhruva Maharaj by reminding him of his original position. So, Prabhupada here commenting on this word Bhutavasam. What is the meaning of Bhutavasam? The abode of all beings. He says, material bodies cannot exist unless sheltered by the soul and the super soul. Okay? Like if you remember in the second canto also we saw this. In the 10th chapter when discussing about the Ashraya Tattva. We saw that yo adhyatmikoyam purushah sosa esa adidaivika ubayas tatra vichheda saha atma, like that. So it is mentioned that how these adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik purushas are interdependent on each other. You remember second canto towards the end we saw. And then he says that, but the Atma is not dependent on these three Purushas. Whereas it is the Atma who gives shelter to these three Purushas. When the Atma leaves the body cannot function. Okay? And then he says, but this Atma is also not independent, it is dependent on Paramatma. And who is the shelter of Paramatma? Swa-ashraya-ashraya. Ashraya. He is his own ashraya. That's how the ashraya tattva of Paramatma was established in the second canto. Shukadeva Goswami gave this example. So here same thing is mentioned here. Bhutavasam, the Lord is addressed as the abode or the shelter of all beings. And Prabhupada here writes in the purport, material bodies cannot exist unless sheltered by the soul and the super soul. And the soul is sheltered by the super soul. Therefore, anything material or spiritual is completely dependent on the Lord. Therefore, the Lord here is addressed as Bhutavasam. And Prabhupada says that Dhruva Maharaj could argue, and why you are trying to stop me? Isn't fighting on the battlefield a duty of a Kshatriya? It's a duty of a Kshatriya. So why you are stopping me? How am I acting adharmically? So here, but Swayamvayu Manu told that every jiva is a residence of the Supreme Lord and therefore it is like a temple. Therefore one should not perform unnecessary killing. Killing is good, but this is beyond necessary killing. The unnecessary killing. Okay. So therefore, at this juncture, it would be beneficial if you see their bodies as being sheltered by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, that is a favorable vision. When to employ which vision? Swayamvayu Manu is teaching Dhruva Maharaj. At this point, you have crossed the limit of necessary killing. So at this point, it would be beneficial for you to accept this vision of seeing all these Yakshas' bodies as being sheltered by the Supreme Lord. So therefore, stop killing. Like that. Why no one came to help him? In one sense, if you see, as soon as he left his body, we are seeing it as a long time in one sense, because it was next birth. But if you see, just he left his body and immediately he got the help of the sages. Here Narada Muni, there the sages of what is that place? Pulaha Ashram. He got the association in a different body, but the same soul got the association of devotees. He went and took association, and then immediately in his next body he attained perfection. So he got the help. Just because it was in a different body, we see it as a long time, but in one sense, if you see, you know, it was not that long. He got the help. He took help. Even a deer's body he remembered. Isn't that a help? How many deers remember what they did in human body? They don't. Bharat Maharaj remembered. Okay, then he continues. Satvam harera nidyatas tattvam samapi sammatah katam tvavadyam krutavan anushikshan satam vratam. Harer anudyatah, at that time he is reminding of his previous position. Harer anudyatah, you remember you used to always meditate on the Supreme Lord. Tat pumsavapi sammatah, the greatest of the devotees, they recognized you as a great devotee for constantly remembering the Supreme Lord. Are you remembering the Supreme Lord right now? He is asking. What are you doing now? Remembering the Supreme Lord? Huh? These great devotees recognized you for what? For constant remembrance of Supreme Lord. What happened to the constant remembrance now? Tvam anushikshan satam vratam. You are one of the saintly persons. People learn saintly conduct from you. If they see such an act performed by you, do you intend them to learn this conduct also? Katam to avadyam kritavan. Why then do you act in this shameful way? People are ready to follow in your footsteps. If they see you performing such an act, they will follow this also. Do you want people to follow this act of yours? Like that he is trying to remind Dhruva Maharaj. You remember, because you have to recall all these points, whatever we have seen till now. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Dhruva Maharaj as a pure devotee always remembered the Lord, and in response the Lord also always remembered Dhruva Maharaj. Swayamdevamanu pointed this to Dhruva Maharaj. Not only are you a pure devotee, but you are also recognized by other pure devotees. Not just that, what to speak of that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hundreds of times he heard the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. So very valid point Swayambhuvamanu is making. In future Krishna himself would hear your pastime hundreds of times again and again. Not just that, they also learn saintly conduct from you. Therefore, it is surprising that you have done this. Then he says, Titikshaya karunaya maitrya chakila jantushu samatvena cha sarvatma bhagavan samprasidati. He says, how can you please the Lord? Have you forgotten, my dear Guru Maharaj? Swami Bhumanu is asking. Titikshaya, if you have tolerance, karunaya, compassion. Tolerance means tolerance of superiors, because they try to control you. Being tolerant. Karunaya, being compassionate to inferiors. Maitriya, and being very friendly to equals. Akila jantushu samatvena. Samatvena means equal vision. What is that equal vision that is mentioned here? Equal vision means, if something gives me distress, seeing that, oh, the same thing would give him distress also, and not doing it. And if something gives me, makes me happy, understanding that, oh, the same thing would make him happy also, and doing it to please that person. So, Vishnagara Vidyagur in his purport quotes a similar verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Atmaupamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yo Arjuna sukam va yadiva dukkam sayogi paramo matah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Atma upamayena sarvatra, seeing everyone has as himself, samam pashyati yo Arjuna sukam va yadiva dukkam, which means this mentality of, if this gives me distress, then the same act would give him also distress. So therefore, refraining from such acts. So he says, my dear Dhruva Maharaj, when you see a superior person, be tolerant. When you see an equal, be friendly. When you see an inferior, feel compassionate. And see others' happiness and distress as your own. And if you show these qualities, the Supreme Lord is pleased. Have you forgotten this? How are you acting? These Punyajanas, they deserve your compassion, not your enmity. And just like you felt so aggrieved when your brother died, shouldn't you be seeing that the other Yakshas and their wives and relatives, they will also be aggrieved by losing their dear ones? Have you forgotten to see that? So he is reminding very vital qualities, he says, that are needed to attract the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan samprasidati. The Supreme Lord, who is Sarvatma, the soul of all beings, is pleased, samprasidati. When a devotee is tolerant of superiors, titikshaya, merciful to inferiors, karunaya, friendly towards equals, maitriya, and akila jantushu, samatvena. And when he takes others' happiness and distress as his own, para dukkha dukhi, when he shows these qualities, the Supreme Lord is very much pleased. Yeah. It's not there. It's not here. The yakshas are, in one sense, inferior. Compassionate. You should be compassionate towards them. Like that. Huh? Also, akila jantushu samatvena. Just like you are suffering because you lost your brother, won't they be suffering? Why can't you see that? And if you can't see that, the Supreme Lord is not pleased with you. Do you want to please the Supreme Lord or not? Like that he is asking. And Prabhupada in the purport writes, this is how a Madhyama Adhikari acts. Ishvare tad dineshu balisheshu dvishashtucha prema maitri krita upeksha. This is the nature of a Madhyama Adhikari. Prema towards Krishna, Ishvare, tad adhineshu, maitri, balisheshu, innocent people but who are inferior, kripa, one should be affectionate, and upeksha, and one who is against the Supreme Lord, don't go and fight with them, just neglect. This is how a Madhyamadhikari acts. Whereas a Kanishtadhikari is only concerned about deities. One should be tolerant towards the envious, friendship with equals and compassion towards inferiors. Everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna constitutionally. Therefore, the duty of a preacher is to awaken the dharman Krishna consciousness. That is his mercy. So, he says that the way to awaken Krishna consciousness in, you know, even an envious person, is the best way is to neglect him. Because if you engage in discussing with him or arguing with him, it will take him further away from Krishna only. But if you don't give him that opportunity only, then at least he is not going further away from Krishna. So in that sense, it is like awakening Krishna consciousness only, in one sense. Not awakening, but at the same time it's not taking him now. That's the best thing you can do to him. Like that. Mudam lipsed, anukrosham gunadama. Second time he is getting the same instruction. Samatvena. Sarva jantushu samatvena, Prabhupada writes. This is important. Vidyavane, Prabhupada quotes, Vidyavane sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuniceva svapake cha pandita samadarshina. So one, a devotee means he must learn to see beyond the external dress. But Dhruva Maharaj here was seeing on the level of, these are yakshas, you know, they killed my brother, so I will kill them, like that. He was on the bodily platform, thinking on the bodily platform. So then he says, why should one please the Supreme Lord? So he mentions in the 14th verse, Samprasanne bhagavati purusha prakritair gunaihi vimukto jiva nirmukto brahma nirvanam ruchati. Samprasanne bhagavati. Because the previous verse he said, Bhagavan samprasidati. If you show these qualities, the Lord is pleased. And in this verse he says, and when the Lord is pleased, what you stand to gain? He says, Samprasanne bhagavati, when the Lord is satisfied, Purushaha, a person, the person who has pleased the Supreme Lord, Prakritair gunaihi vimuktaha. When the Lord is pleased, then the person becomes free from the gunas of Prakriti. Prakritai gunaihi vimuktaha. What is that verse? Maya metan tarantite. Dairiyesha gunamai mama maya duratya. Mamevaye prapadyante maya metan tarantite. When the Lord is pleased, when a person takes shelter, when the Lord is pleased, and when the Lord is pleased, one can cross over the influence of maya. Same thing is mentioned here. Samprasanne bhagavati purushaha prakritair gunaihi vimuktaha. The person becomes free from the gunas of prakriti. Jiva nirmukta, and he also becomes free from the sati body. Brahma nirvanam ruchati, and he attains the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it is essential to please the Supreme Lord. Like that he is indicating to Dhruva Maharaj here. Prabhupada here writes about samprasanne bhagavati, about satisfying the Lord. Prabhupada says, one should act for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And outside the realm of devotional service, everyone acts for his own satisfaction. A karmi acts to satisfy his gross senses. A jnani tries, acts to satisfy himself subtly by thinking himself to be the God. And a yogi aims to satisfy himself by achieving siddhis. Therefore, only the devotee achieves Brahma Nirvanam. Because the rest all are not acting for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. If you are not acting with the desire to please the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord will not be pleased. Like that Prabhupada is mentioning here. So here, on a very high level of pleasing the Supreme Lord, Swayambhu Manu has presented his arguments. Okay? So now, before we move further to the next section, where he is going to come to the level of basically discussing on the level of Jiva Tattva, Ishvara Tattva and Maya Tattva. On that level he is going to discuss starting from the next verse. But till now, what are the various arguments that Swayambhu Manu has put forward to Dhruva Maharaj? Can you try to recall? First, okay. Excess anger is sinful. It leads to the path to hell. Okay, then what did he say? It's not befitting our family. This is not befitting our family, so don't do it. Then what else? Just because of killing, just because one yaksha killed your brother, does not mean you have to kill wholesale all the yakshas. Then killing on the bodily platform is like the killing of animals. It's animal platform. So you should not be doing it. Rishikesha anuvartinam sadhunam na ayam margaha. The followers of Lord Rishikesh do not follow such a path. So you should not be following. Then what did he say? You already attained Vaikuntha. Don't you remember? By considering the Lord to be the abode of all beings, that's how you worshipped him and pleased the Supreme Lord. Now have you forgotten that the Lord is the abode of all these yakshas also? Then, what did he say? He said, not only are you a great devotee, but other great devotees also recognize you as a great devotee, worthy. They consider your activities worthy to be followed. They learn saintly conduct through your activities. Why are you acting like this in such a shameful way? And then he says, have you forgotten how the Lord is pleased? Titikshaya, Karunaya, Maitriya, Chakila, Jantushu, Samatvena cha Sarvatma, Bhagavan Samprasidati. The Lord is pleased when you are tolerant of your superiors, friendly towards your equals, compassionate towards your inferiors, and if you learn to take others' happiness and distress as your own. Okay, only then the Lord is pleased. And if the Lord is pleased, then such a person can very easily overcome the influence of the three gunas, and he can overcome his subtle body, and he can achieve the Supreme Lord. Brahma Nirvanam Vichati. So therefore, I think you should stop killing and try to please the Supreme Lord. Like that he has offered his arguments. So now, let's continue further. The last few verses, yes, this is the argument of, this is the highest argument, that you have achieved the highest thing of, you managed to please the Lord, and the Lord being so pleased came personally and gave you his own abode, promised you his own abode. So how can you act like this? Now I will remind you that this is how you can please the Supreme Lord. So pleasing the Supreme Lord, that is the level of, this is the level of bhakti. That is the platform in which he is offering these arguments. Now he is going to come down and offer explanations based on who is the doer. Is the Jivatma the doer? Is his Maya Shakti the doer? Is the Supreme Lord the doer? How should you look at it? On that level he is going to make an argument now. So that is how this next section, next 10 verses, 15th verse till 24th verse, he is going to discuss on that platform. The three doers. And how do you understand? Who should you hold responsible? That's what he is going to argue based on that platform.
Bhutair panchadurarabdair yoshit purushayevahi tayor vyavayat sambhutir yoshit purushayoriha.
He says, understand my dear Dhruva Maharaj, yoshit purushayoho arabdair bhutair panchadir.
Women and men arise from bodies made of five elements.
Okay.
Tayor yavayat yoshit purusha iha sambhutihi. Men and women arise from bodies made of five elements.
Okay.
And from their bodies, further when they interact, more men and women appear.
Okay. This might seem like, suddenly why is Swayambhu Manu speaking like this? We may wonder. This will become more clearer when we see the next few verses.
Okay.
For now, just remember what he has spoken.
Okay.
Of course, Prabhupada, will come to Prabhupada's purport little later, because in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the whole line of argument only that Swayambhu Manu is giving. So we'll get back to this purport little later. Okay. So first he is telling, women and men arise from the body made of five elements, and further when they unite, more men and women are produced. And then he says,
evam pravartate sarga stiti sanyama evacha gunavyatika radrajan mayaya paramatmanaha.
O Rajan, evam pravartate sarga.
Just as creation takes place in this way due to interaction of elements, stiti samyama evava, in the same way maintenance and destruction of the bodies also take place. How? Guna vyatikarad, by the action of gunas. But gunas do not act themselves. Paramatmanaha mayaya guna vyatikarad.
The Supreme Lord, it is the three gunas are controlled by the Lord's maya. And by the action of the gunas, creation, maintenance and destruction takes place. So first, what Swayambhu Manu is doing here is, first he is indicating to Dhruva Maharaj that wait, yakshas are not the doers. In one sense they are, but what he is trying to say here is the actual doers are the three modes.
Okay.
And the three modes themselves are also not the doers. They are controlled by Maya. Maya is the doer. Just as creation takes place by the agitation of the three gunas, similarly, maintenance and destruction also happens. So destruction of your brother, Uttama, is also an action of the three gunas of Maya. Yakshas are not the cause. That's what he is trying to do here. Of course, he is going to give a whole picture, but to start with, he is telling this. Hey, Yakshas didn't kill. The three modes, they are the killers. But of course, he will not stop there. He will go further and explain this whole understanding. He will give the full-fledged understanding. So, Prabhupada here, we will get back to the 15th verse purport. Prabhupada says, when Swayambhu Manu saw that Dhruva Maharaj understood the philosophy of Vaishnavism and yet was still dissatisfied because of his brother's death, he gave an explanation of how the material body is created by material nature. So, Prabhupada says in his purport that Swayambhu Manu first gave argument on the philosophy, based on the philosophy of Vaishnavism. Hey, the Lord will not be pleased. You managed to please the Lord. So now why you are acting like this? These qualities that you are showing are contrary to what pleases the Supreme Lord. And if you please the Supreme Lord, you can escape the influence of the three modes. So you should be acting to please the Supreme Lord like that. Valid arguments, but still Swayambhu Manu was, still Dhruva Maharaj was little dissatisfied. And Prabhupada writes that Swayambhu Manu could understand that Dhruva Maharaj was still not satisfied. So now he comes to the level of discussing who is the doer. You understand? That's what he is trying to tell Dhruva Maharaj here. He gave him an explanation of how the material body is created by material nature. Prabhupada says, Prakrite Kriyamanani. Prakriti is the doer. But she does under the supervision of Krishna. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Prakrite Kriyamanani, Prakriti is the doer, but she does under the Adhyaksha of Krishna. Therefore, killing of Uttama is not actually the Yaksha's fault. It was an act of material nature. That's what Swayambhu Manu is indicating right now. This is not the ultimate philosophy. Okay. Immediately, you know, the question arises, should a murderer be punished or not? Okay. Therefore, this is not the final argument that he has not established the full philosophy. Full-fledged philosophy has not been established yet by Swayambhu Manu. So, we cannot take this one verse and make any conclusive statement. Okay. So, Lord has many energies and they act in different ways to create this material universe. Propelled by material nature, when man and woman unite, more men and women are also created. That is the way of creation, maintenance and annihilation. One should not be disturbed by the waves of material nature. Okay, so like that. So basically it is the material nature whose modes, Rajas instigates creation, Sattva instigates maintenance and Tamas instigates destruction. So therefore it is just an act of the three modes of Maya. So therefore you should not hold the Yakshas responsible. Okay, that is the argument made by Swayambhu Manu here. Okay, let's continue.
Nimitta matram tatra sin nirguna purusha rishada vyakta vyaktam idam vishvam yatra bhramati lohavat.
He says that nirguna purusha rishada, but don't think that the Maya potency of the Supreme Lord also acts independently. That's what he is indicating. Nirguna Purusha Rishabha, the Lord who is beyond the three gunas, నిమిత్తమాత్రం ఆసీద్. నిమిత్తమాత్రం మీన్స్ హీ ఈస్ ది ఇండైరెక్ట్ కాస్. మయా అధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే. వన్ మే సే దట్ లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇఫ్ యూ సీ సమ్వన్ ఇస్ యూజింగ్ అ సడన్లీ యునో అ టాయ్ ప్లేన్ ఫ్లైస్ హియర్ యూ సీ దట్ ఓ టాయ్ ప్లేన్ ఇస్ ఫ్లయింగ్ బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ బట్ యూ మే సీ దట్ లేటర్ దట్ అ చైల్డ్ ఇస్ హోల్డింగ్ అ రిమోట్ కంట్రోల్ అండ్ you know he's trying to you know navigate that plane. So the child is the efficient cause, like the potter is the efficient cause. So here the same thing is mentioned. Nimitta matram tatra asid nirguna purusharishada. But material energy is not acting on its own. She is being empowered and guided by the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is the indirect cause. Okay, that's the next information or next level of injunction that Swambhu Munu, next explanation that he is giving. Yakshas are not the cause, it is the three modes. The three modes are not the cause, it is the Maya potency which controls the three modes. Maya potency is not the cause. The Supreme Lord who controls the Maya potency. Yes. Yeah, but he didn't say how you should react to it. That is true. That he didn't tell, na? He will die, but you should not react to it. Like that he did not mention. In one sense, the way Guru Maharaj is acting is not absolutely wrong. Just that he overdid. That was the problem. Roshena is okay. But Ati Roshena, he crossed the limit. That was the problem. Okay. That way, if you see, everything is happening according to whether the Supreme Lord personally comes and tells you or not. Ultimately, everything is happening according to the will of Providence only. That does not mean you should not react at all.
That's what Manu is
telling you. See, Manu is giving arguments at various levels. First thing, he wants to stop that fight. Okay. So that's why he's making that's not exactly what Manu is telling here. Manu is giving various explanations, but with the purpose of stopping this fight. Okay. So it's not that Guru Maharaj should not have fought at all. That's not what he is trying to do here. Ultimately, if you see all the injunctions together, then you understand that what Manu is trying to do is he is explaining the basic philosophy, but at the same time the ultimate bottom line that he wants to tell is don't overdo it. It's not appropriate. What you are doing is too much for this one thing. So then he says the Lord who is beyond the three gunas is the indirect cause. And who is this Lord? యత్ర వ్యక్త అవ్యక్తం ఇదం విశ్వం భ్రమతి లోహవత్. అండ్ దట్ సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్ హోమ్ ఇస్ దట్ పర్సనాలిటీ విత్ ఇన్ హోమ్ దిస్ హోల్ యూనివర్స్ ఆఫ్ కాజ్ అండ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ మూవ్స్ జస్ట్ లైక్ అ మ్యాగ్నెట్ మూవ్స్ అయాన్. మ్యాగ్నెట్ ఇస్ ది యు మే సీ దట్ ఫ్రమ్ అ డిస్టెన్స్ ఇఫ్ దర్ ఇస్ అ పవర్ఫుల్ మ్యాగ్నెట్ and there are some iron filings lying around, okay, or if you cover it with a cloth, okay, it looks like a cloth only, and then you move the cloth or you are just moving your hand like this and the iron filings are moving like that, okay. So it may seem that they are moving on their own, but the magnet is the nimitta matra, Okay, the indirect cause, that's what here Swayambhu Manu is telling. Creation, maintenance and destruction happens by the three modes. The yakshas are not the cause. Three modes are controlled by Maya. And this Maya is not the ultimate cause. The original efficient causes are the indirect causes of the Supreme Lord, who is the Nimitta Matra, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada here mentions in the purport, how the external energy works is explained here. Everything is happening by the energy of the Lord. But atheistic philosophers, they think that the world moves by the action and reaction of material elements only. Aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. Various atheistic arguments are discussed in that. They say that the world moves by action and reaction of material elements. But it is not possible to explain it only on the basis of some chemical reaction or interaction of material elements. Prabhupada gives the example again of the pot and potter. The potter is the nimitta karana or the efficient cause and the original cause also. Because only because of the desire of the pot actually was made. Similarly, behind the action of material energy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. But He is aloof, just like the potter. Therefore, the Lord is the remote cause and He pushes the wheel with His energy. But the Mayavadis say that the Lord Himself has transformed. This argument comes in the this discussion comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also about Vivartavad and Shakti Parinamavad. About the Mayavadi understanding about how the Lord Himself transforms into this material world. That is one of the Mayavadi arguments. There are many shades of Mayavadi arguments. But the Vaishnava understanding is that the Lord Himself is Kutastha. He does not change, but His energies can transform. That is called Shakti Parinamavad. His energies can transform, and they can transform into multifarious ways, creating, maintaining and destroying this material universe. That is the Vaishnava understanding. That's what Prabhupada is also mentioning here. So basically here, starting from the 15th verse, Swayambhu Muni has mentioned that my dear Dhruva Maharaj, creation, maintenance and destruction is actually carried out by the three modes, and the three modes are controlled by Maya, and that Maya is controlled by Krishna.
Sakal vidam bhagavan kala shatya guna pravahena vidatta viryaha karotya kartaiva nihantya hanta cheshta vibhumna kaludhir vibhavya. Saha bhagavan, that supreme lord, idam viryaha, acting as the jivas entering into maya. The jiva shakti is also, the jivas are also energies of the energy of the Supreme Lord only. The tatastha shakti. Idam viryaha, the Lord in the form of His jivas entering into maya, guna pravahena vibhakta, separated from Himself by the agitation of gunas, kala shaktya, through time, karoti akarta iva. Okay, this little confusing verse, but what it means is when Karanavakasaya Vishnu glances at Prakriti Pradhan, so at that time the jivas are impregnated in the Pradhan. Okay, so it is mentioned here, Saha Bhagavan, the Lord, idam virya, acting as the jivas entering into maya, which means The jivas here are also addressed as Supreme Lord because of the non-difference between the energy and the energetic. So what here it means is, the Lord in his form of jivas, he separates himself. The jivas separate themselves from the Lord and enter into Prakriti. And this is facilitated by the Kala Shakti. Kala Shaktya. Karoti akarta iva. We will see the meaning of this. Okay. Nihantyahanta. The Lord kills and does not kill. Cheshta vibhunna kalu durvibhavya. The actions of the Lord are indeed inconceivable. So, why is Swayambhu Manu speaking this verse? The Acharyas explained. Because in the previous verse only he said, Yakshas are not the cause, the three modes are also not the cause, Maya Shakti is also not the ultimate cause, it is the Lord who is the ultimate cause. Then suddenly, then you will ask, then the Lord is responsible for all this? Okay, who is the responsible cause? Is it the Lord? That's what he is answering here. He says, the Lord as the Jiva Shakti entering Maya Shakti, separated from the Lord by the agitation of the gunas through the time, acts step by step. Okay. The Lord being agitated by the Kala Shakti, when it was right time for creation to happen, the Jivas who are merged into the body of Karanadaka Sai Vishnu separated themselves from the Lord and entered Pradhan. That's what is mentioned here. And because the Jivas are also energy of the Supreme Lord, therefore it is mentioned here that the Lord separated himself from himself because of the non-difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman. So the Shakti here is the Jivas. Shaktiman is the Supreme Lord. And the Shakti separated herself from the Shaktiman. That's what is indicated here. Which means, at the time of creation, the Jivas who are merged into the body of Karanadaka Sai Vishnu, they separated themselves and entered into Pradhan. Which means the Lord impregnated Pradhan with the Jivatmas. That's what it means. Okay. The Lord is both the Upadana and Nimitta Karanas. Since he is non-different from his energies of the gunas, time and jiva. Okay. So, they all are in different ways, they are also causes. Okay. The Prakriti is the Upadana Karan. Okay. But Prakriti is the energy of Supreme Lord. So, in that sense, the Supreme Lord is only the Upadana Karan. Time is mentioned to be the Nimitta Karan, efficient cause. But time is also a Shakti of the Supreme Lord. So that way the Lord is the Nimitta Karan also. Okay. So like that. So because the energy and the energetic are non-different, therefore the Supreme Lord is called both the Upadana Karan and the Nimitta Karan. Though on a one level down, one may see time as the efficient cause and Prakriti or Pradhan as the Upadana Karan, as the material cause, but one level higher, both Prakriti and time are energies of the Supreme Lord, and because the energy and energetic are non-different, therefore the Lord is the Upadana Karan and Nimitta Karan. That is the argument that here Swayambhu Manu is making here. The Lord is both the Upadana and Nimitta Karan, since he is non-different from his energies of the gunas, time and jiva. The gunas belong to the Maya Shakti, time is Kala Shakti, and the jivas are Tatastha Shakti. All three are different kinds of karan. But all of them being the energies of the Supreme Lord, therefore the Lord is simultaneously all the causes, sarva karana karana, like that. He is the non-doer, because it is mentioned, karoti akarta.
he does, at the same time he is not the doer. What does it mean? It is mentioned, he is the non-doer since these items are not his swarupa. The Jiva Shakti, Kala Shakti, Maya Shakti, they do not form the swarupa of the Supreme Lord. They all are, you know, external to the swarupa of the Supreme Lord. The Lord swarupa is not made of any of these Shaktis. The Lord swarupa is made of only Chit Shakti. Therefore, because they are not his swarupa, he is the non-doer. Like for example, like we always saw this example, that we may say that it is not wrong to say that Anil Ambani or Mukesh Ambani created this. Whose is this? Whatever. Jio. You may say that who made this? You may say that which Ambani? Mukesh Ambani. Okay. But did Mukesh Ambani personally, you know, make that whatever SIM card? He didn't make. That is not a Swarup Shakti. He personally made his own son. He created his son. So in one sense you can say that his son is a part of his creation of his Swarupa. But the Jio SIM card is not a creation of his Swarupa. Even though in one sense the Jio SIM card would not come if Mukesh Ambani was not there. You understand? But it is not a creation of his Swarupa. The same way here it is mentioned that he is the non-doer in the sense that Mukesh Ambani did not personally create that Jio SIM card. He only empowered some of his energies to create it. But he personally created his own son. That is a product of his Swarupa. He is the doer there. He is the non-doer here in this context. But in the ultimate sense, he is the doer also. Because if Mukesh Ambani was not there, who would have empowered his Shaktis to create that Jio SIM card? Okay. But he personally created his own son. Okay. So therefore, that is a product of his Swarupa. There, he is the doer, personally also. But here, he only empowered it. So he is just the indirect doer. So therefore, So karoti akarta iva. He acts and does not act, does not, it means that he acts in the sense, ultimately it is his energies who are performing the act. And he is not the doer in the sense, that energy is not part of his swarupa. Like that. But then one may ask, but then, why does the Lord at all create this universe, maintain it through his energies? Why does he destroy it? Why? Why he does all these things? In order to dismiss such questions, it is said, Cheshta vibhumna kalu durvi bhavya. The actions of the Lord are inconceivable. It is difficult to conceive his actions. Why he does it? Why exactly did Krishna do this? One cannot say. Even in which section was it? In Brahmaji's prayers in the third canto, or was it second canto? Somewhere he mentions that, my dear, whomever he was addressing. So he says that myself, Lord Shiva, I think in the second canto he says, we can understand the hand of Supreme Lord. We can say that, okay, we can say that, okay, Krishna's desire is being executed. But what exactly is Krishna going to do? What is his desire now? For future? That no one knows. After that act happens, in retrospect we can see Krishna's hands. Okay, but what is going to be Krishna's plans, that we cannot know. No one can know. Bhishmadeva also says, Nahiyasya karhichad rajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. What Lord is going to do, no one can guess. But when an act has been performed, a person who is attuned to serving the Supreme Lord, he can see the hands of the Supreme Lord in that particular act. But you cannot tell, oh, so what the Lord is going to do next, can you guess? No one can guess. But after that thing happens, one can see the hands of Lord. But what he is going to do next, no one knows. What is going on in Lord's mind, no one knows. Like that. So that's what is mentioned here. Cheshta vibhumna kalu durvibhavya. The actions of the Lord are inconceivable. Like that. Okay. Okay, let's continue.
Sonantontakkarakkalo anadir adikradavyayah jananjanena janayan marayan vityunantakam.
As time, he is without destruction. Saha kalah anantah. In the form of time, the Lord is without any destruction. But antakaraha, but he brings destruction to everyone and everything. Anadihi, he is without any birth, but adikrit, but he causes birth. Avyayaha, he is inexhaustible. Janam janena janayan, he produces people by means of people. Marayan mrityuna antakam, and he destroys even Yamaraj through the agency of Kalagni Rudra. Kalagni Rudra is that aspect of Lord Shiva who causes the final destruction, final devastation. So he says that even though the Lord is without birth, he causes birth through some agency, which means he is not directly involved. And at the same time, when he has to destroy, he can destroy even Yamaraj, but through the agency of Kalagni Rudra. Like that. So this is in continuation of the previous verse, where it is mentioned that the Lord employs his energies to execute. But at the same, but he does not directly act. So he should not be held responsible in one sense. Like if it's not an exact if there is a deficiency in one of those Jio SIM cards. In one sense, of course, ultimately Mukesh Ambani is responsible, but of course, you know, he can, whatever loss is there, if he can identify the exact person who has caused that mistake, he will only be, from his salary it will be deducted in one sense. So he is responsible. Mukesh Ambani is not ultimately responsible. Okay, so that's what is indicated here, that it is not, he is the akarta, because it is, these are not part of his swarupa. These shaktis which get these things, then they are not part of his swarupa. Anything that he does using his swarup shakti, he takes responsibility for that. Anything which is done by his bahiranga shakti and these other external energies which do not constitute his swarupa, he will not take any responsibility for that. Like for example, the judge, Prabhupada always gives this example of the judge passing a judgment in the court. Okay? And as a result of that judgment, the person may be hanged. Hang him. He is not responsible for that. He will not get the or he will not be penalized for murder. But if he actually outside the court, if he performs a murder, which means his own emotions are involved. His own emotions, like Swarupa, that is involved. So he has to take responsibility for that. But acting as a judge is not a Swarupa, it is an external upadhi that he has received. On that platform, when he performs an act, he is not responsible. But when he comes out of the court and with his Swarupa, when he performs a murder, then he is responsible for it. So therefore the Lord, he takes responsibility for what he performs in his Swarupa, through his Swarup Shakti. But through his other energies which are external to his Swarupa, anything that is performed, he is not ultimately responsible. He is still the akarta only. He is not the doer. Like that. So Prabhupada, commenting on this verse, he says about antakara. He says, Mrityu Sarva Harascham, Krishna says, that I am that death. Avyayaha. He is inexhaustible. Prabhupada commenting on this, he says, he gives the example of a touchstone. A touchstone creates various jewels but does not diminish in power. It's not that after, you know, you touch a touchstone to various items and it becomes gold. It's not that it diminishes in power. Similarly, Lord Vishnu creates Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who in turn create and annihilate many, many universes. But Vishnu alone remains at the end. Om Purnamadam Purnamadam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. And then Prabhupada commenting on Mrityuna Marayan Antakam. Commenting on that, Prabhupada says, Hitler and Napoleon killed many, many people, but in the end they were also killed. People are so much interested in the amazing killing by Hitler and Napoleon, but no one is asking who killed them. But devotees are not interested in this flickering history. But they are only interested in the original creator, maintainer and annihilator. That is Krishna. This is the purpose of ISKCON. To educate people about the original creator, annihilator and destroyer. Like that Prabhupada writes here in the purport. But then one may say, so is it that the Lord kills some people whom he likes or whom he does not like and maintains those people whom he likes? Is the Lord partial? That question may come. So in response to that, Swami Bhavana says, Navai svapakshosya vipaksho vava parasya mrityor vishatas samam prajaha tandavananam manudhavantyamisha yatarajam syanilambhota sangaha. Navai svapaksho asya vipaksho evava. The Lord has no friend. The Lord has no enemy. Parasya mrityor vishatas samam prajaha. Samam vishataha. He enters as death. He enters equally into all beings. Which means, when their time comes, whoever it may be, they have to die. Anisha. The jivas who are not Isha, who are not the controllers, but they are dependent on their karma, bhuta sangha, and associated with matter, tam anudhavanti, they follow the Lord dhavamanam as he moves along.
Yata rajamsi anilam. Just like dust particles move, follow the currents, following the current of air. Similarly, the living entities also, they follow the supreme Lord, just as dust particles follow the current of air. But the Lord does not act out of any personal like or dislike. Okay, he is neutral. He has no friend or enemy. He enters all beings. As death, he is equal to all. But the jivas, because of their karma, they move along as the Lord moves. Which means, as the Lord's law of karma moves, it moves everyone. No one is free. Like that. So here, why this analogy of wind is used? Here, what is compared to the wind? The Lord is compared to the wind. And what is compared to the dust particles? The jivas. So, when the wind blows, okay, depending on the power of the wind, let's say if this particular wind is capable of carrying particles which are less than 10 grams. Whatever may be that particle, whether it is a gold particle or it is ordinary dust particle, whatever it may be, if it is less than 10 grams, that particular wind will carry. Okay? That's all matters. So, so the wind does not see favorites. I like this particle, so I will take him with me. I don't like this fellow, I will leave him, like that. The wind has no favorite, or he does not dislike anyone. Similarly, the Lord also, in the form of time, in the form of death, he sees no favorites. Navaiswa paksho asya vipaksha evava. Parasya mrittor vishataha samam praja. Mrityu, in the form of mrityu, samam vishataha, he equally enters everyone. He spares no one. Okay. So therefore, you should not unnecessarily hold the Lord responsible, because he is equal to all. But then one may ask, but if the Lord is equal to all, then how come some people die when they are young, some people die when they are very old, some people get what they want, some people do not get what they want, some people have a very luxurious life, some people have a very poverty stricken life? So why? So here it is indicating anisha, because the jivas are dependent on their karma. And according to the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, the law of karma acts. It acts equally on everyone. Depending on whatever karma that living entity has performed, accordingly he will get the reaction. Therefore, it is the actions of the living entity that is the cause. Karma of the living entity. The Lord is not the cause. Ultimately, the responsible doer is the living entity only. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, though the Lord is the original cause, because till now, till the previous verse, it was established that the original cause, sarva karana karanam, is the Supreme Lord only, but he is not the cause of material suffering or enjoyment of the jiva. The jivas create their own fortune or misfortune as soon as they declare their independence from the Supreme Lord. As soon as they declare their independence from the Supreme Lord, then any pious act would give them pious results.
Any impious act will give them impious results. Okay. As far as creation, maintenance and destruction, the Lord is equal to all, but people create their own material happiness and distress due to karma. The government gives equal facilities, but people use their free will to develop different consciousness with that facility. Like that. So, hear this. How things function in this material world? Regarding, you know, who is the doer? Which are the various energies and personalities who are involved in the functioning of this universe? So basically, Swami Munu is trying to explain this to Dhruva Maharaj so that he does not wrongly hold only the Yakshas responsible for the death of his brother Uttama. So therefore he is explaining this whole functioning from a very fundamental platform. That's what is happening here. So we'll take a short break and then we'll continue. We'll complete this chapter and then we can take the next chapter in the next session. So we'll take a short break and then we'll continue. So till now, let's do a quick recap of what Swayambhava Manu has instructed to Dhruva Maharaj. So, Swayambhava Manu said, stop this excessive anger. These yakshas are innocent. Okay? And this act does not befit, this act is not befitting our family or dynasty. Okay, for the act of one yaksha, inappropriate act it may be, killing so many yakshas is not correct. And this act has now become an act on the platform of your body. So you are identifying with your body, you are performing this act, which is not good. And you are that same Dhruva Maharaj who, when you are 5 years old, managed to please that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is very difficult to be pleased. And you managed to please Him by seeing all the living entities, by seeing the Supreme Lord to be the abode of all living entities. Why have you stop seeing the Supreme Lord in the same way now? Always remembering the Supreme Lord, you have been recognized by the great devotees to be a very wonderful Mahabhagavad devotee. Not only do they see you as a Mahabhagavad devotee, they also learn the right conduct of a sadhu from you. Why then are you acting in such a shameful way by setting the wrong example? And don't you know that the Supreme Lord is pleased when His devotees show these qualities of titiksha, karuna, maitriya cha akhila jantushu, samatvena cha sarvatma? Then the Supreme Lord is pleased. And when the Supreme Lord is pleased, that person can overcome the influence of the three modes and achieve the supreme abode of the Lord. So this was, as Prabhupada said, the instructions. These were the Vaishnava instructions. But in spite of hearing these instructions, still Swayambhava Manu could detect some dissatisfaction in Dhruva Maharaj. So therefore he is discussing about the doer. Who is the doer? He said, he started by mentioning that This creation, maintenance and destruction is carried out by the three modes. Creation by passion, maintenance by goodness and destruction by tamas. Okay? And these three are controlled by Maya. And this Maya is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. Nimitra matram tatrasi nirguna purusharshada vyakta avyaktam idam vishvam yatra bhramati lohavat. Like the magnet controls the iron filings, the Supreme Lord controls all the living entities, the three modes, Maya, potency and so on. Okay? And but these energies of the Supreme Lord are not His Swarup Shakti. So therefore He is the Akarta. He is the non-doer. He is the doer in the sense that it is His energies who get everything done. He is the non-doer in the sense those energies are not, they do not belong to His Swarupa. Okay? Why does the Lord do it? No one can say. Cheshta vibhumna kalidur vibhavya. And using, and He is so energetic that He can kill even Yamaraj by employing Kalagni Rudra. Everything is His energy only. I gave the example, no? Jio example.
But ultimately energy they belong to Lord.
They belong to Lord, but He will take responsibility of only that acts which are performed within the realm of His internal energy. We saw the example of judge also. Judge passing judgment on the in the court, he will not be held responsible for that. He will not, if he passes a judgment to kill someone, on whose words is that person being killed? On the judge's word only, no? But he is not held responsible because he is wearing that external upadhi of being a judge. Out of his own swabhava, out of his own hatred, he is not killing that person. Isn't it? Whatever is the rules made according to that rule, he passes the judgment. He is the judge because he knows all these rules. Based on those rules, he passes the judgment, so he is killed. So he is not held responsible because it is not an act performed out of his swabhava. That is not his swarupa. That is the upadhi. But when he acts, when the same judge goes to his house and engages in reciprocations with his own children and family, that is an act that he is performing without that upadhi. That is his swarupa, actions of his swarupa. He takes responsibility. Like that. And then he says that even though the Lord is the doer ultimately, nimitta matra, but you should not hold Him responsible because navai swapaksho asya vipaksha evava, because the Lord has no friend or enemy. Okay, He does not do it. Again that point is stressed here. The living entities, they are they suffer or enjoy things because of their own karma. And the law of karma acts under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord. So He is not directly responsible. Okay? He does not personally like anyone. He does not personally hate anyone. Okay, this is where we ended. So now, that point is being little more elaborated here in this 21st verse. He says, Aisho pachayan jantos tatai vo pachayan vibhu.
उभाभ्याम रहित स्वस्थो दुस्तस्य विदधात्यसौ जंतो हो आयुषो अपचयम तथा एव उपचयम। अपचयम मीन्स शॉर्ट लाइफ स्पैन, उपचयम मीन्स लॉन्ग लाइफ। जंतो हो आयुषो अपचयम तथा एव उपचयम। तो लिविंग बींग्स हैव, सम लिविंग बींग्स हैव शॉर्ट लाइफ स्पैन, सम लिविंग बींग्स हैव लॉन्ग लाइफ स्पैन। विभु उभाभ्याम रहित है, बट द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विभु इज फ्री फ्रॉम बोथ because he does not have a body which deteriorates. He is transcendental, he is spiritual, he has a spiritual body. Swastaha, being situated in that transcendental position, asau vidadhati, he bestows the results. On what basis? Dustasya. Dustasya means he bestows results to those who are dependent on karma, which means based on whatever is their karma, they get appropriate result. Okay. So it is their karma, it is the actions of the living entities which are the cause. The Supreme Lord, even though eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman, he gives whatever they deserve and desire, but based on their karma. Okay. So therefore it's not that if he likes someone, he does not give more. If he does not like, he does not give them less. But whatever according to their karma they deserve, accordingly he gives. That sense he should not be held responsible. Like you cannot hold the judge responsible for killing the murderer, because the murderer, for his act of murder, he deserves to be killed, so that judgment was passed by the judge. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the Lord provides long life and short life and the enjoyments thereof to Brahma and even to a mosquito according to their karma. So the Lord only acts as the bestower of the living entity's karma. That's all. But the Lord is also capable of destroying karma. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. Like that. But if one only worships the demigods and the pitrus, then yanti deva vrata devan, then they can at the most go to the planets of the demigods and the pitrus and stay there, but within this universe only. But if they perform devotional service, then they can get eternal life. Therefore, performing devotional service is the best interest of the jiva. So Prabhupada writes here, the Lord does not only act as the bestower of one's karma, but the Lord is also capable of destroying one's karma and thereby removing that personality from this material world only. So one should not just see the Lord as the dispenser of one's own karma, the result of their own karma. The Lord, when one starts worshipping the Lord in pure devotional service, the same Lord can destroy that person's karma and take him back home, back to Godhead also. Like that, Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. But not everyone may agree that ultimately karma is the cause. Okay? Like we saw in one of the previous discussions, that all these various kinds of philosophies in some form or other have always existed. Okay? There is no new philosophy that is, we may call it Neo-Mayavad or whatever it may be, but ultimately in some form it always existed. Okay? Maybe the packaging is slightly different, but all these philosophies always existed. So here Swami Govindu says, కేచిత్ కర్మ వదంత్యేనం స్వభావం అపరే నృప ఏకే కాలం పరే దైవం పుంసః కామం ఉతాపరే. ఓకే నృప, కేచిత్ కర్మ వదంతి, సమ్ సే దట్ కర్మ ఇస్ ద అల్టిమేట్ కాజ్, అపరే ఏనం స్వభావం, సమ్ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాటర్ దట్ ఈస్ ద కాజ్, ఏకే కాలం, సమ్ సే దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ది టైమ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ కాజ్, పరే అపరే దైవం, సమ్ సే దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ప్లానెట్స్ దట్ ఈస్ ద కాజ్, పుంసః కామం ఉత అపరే, అండ్ సమ్ సే దట్ అల్టిమేట్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ లస్ట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ది కాజ్, కిమన్యత్ కామహైతుకం. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ద వేరియస్ ఫిలాసఫీస్. ద చార్వాక్స్ దే సే దట్ స్వభావ ఇస్ ది కాజ్, స్వభావం అల్టిమేట్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది స్వభావ విచ్ ఇస్ ది కాజ్ దే సే. ది వ్యావహారికాస్ దే సే దట్ టైమ్ ఇస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ కాజ్, యూ కెనాట్ బీట్ ద టైమ్, when it is time for you to die, you die, you cannot beat time, so therefore there is nothing that you can do, you have to just wait and watch time performing things, that is the argument of the vyavaharikas. The astrologers, they say daivam, the planets do everything, somehow if you can appease, you can make peace with the planets, then you can have a peaceful life, because ultimately the planets control everything, that is their argument. And Vatsyayan and other such philosophers who have commented on the Kama Shastras, they say that ultimately everything is controlled by lust only. And the modern philosopher who comes in the line is Osho, Sigmund Freud, who say ultimately it is lust only which controls everything, like that. So like that, there are many philosophers who come up with their own philosophies. But the real conclusion is that, Prabhupada writes in the purport, but the real conclusion is that it is only our karma that binds us into different species. But the different species one gets, see, it's not that the other factors do not act at all. Karma also makes a role, it has its own role. Swabhava also, kala also, daiva also, and lust also, everything is in one sense interconnected, but ultimately it boils down to one's karma. Whatever actions one has performed in his previous lives, that will decide his future destination and whatever results that he gets. But that does not mean that the other factors do not play a role, they also play a role to influence that person. The swabhava can influence that person, planets can also influence that person, but ultimately it is his karma which makes him responsible. Yeah. See, what is your question? Adhishthanam Tathagata, the five factors, yeah. So these are the things, swabhava can also influence a person. One's own swabhava, swabhava in those five factors, adhishthanam, tathakarta, karanam, chapritakvida, vividas, chapritakcheshta, daivam, chevatra panchamam. Of course, there daivam indicates the Supreme Lord. Okay, and in one sense, adhishtanam, the body that you have, was born at a particular
planetary arrangements. So automatically the planets are accounted for in that adhishtanam. Okay, here daivam, here the daivam indicates the planets. Okay, so in the adhishtanam the role of daiva is accounted for. Okay, and swabhava and kama. Kama is also part of one's swabhava only. One of the quality of the swabhava is kama. Kama and swabhava is accounted in the karta. Adhishtanam tata karta. Okay. And karana. Actually it is accounted in the karana, the subtle body. Karana refers to the subtle body. Swabhava also resides in the subtle body only. Okay. So this kama and swabhava comes in the karana. Adhishtanam tatakarta karanam chatatagvida. And this karma is a part of the karta only. Karta. Jiva is born means jiva is born with his karma and swabhava. So that karma is part of the jiva. Okay. Adhishtanam tatakarta karanam chatatagvida. Of course, the kala factor is always there. Vividascha pritak cheshta daivam chayatra panchamam. Okay, like that. So these factors can be factored into those five actually. That we say like that, it's not necessarily like exactly 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, not like that. Just for our understanding we say that jiva is just 1/5 the cause. It's not exactly 1/5, it may be, you know, more or less like that. The real conclusion is that it is only our karma that binds us into different species. But the different species is due to kama of different desires. Therefore the Vedas say, kamo karshit, lust is the doer, like that. In one sense, that is one understanding, you know. Ultimately it is our desire which gives rise to our particular body also. But then Prabhupada writes, but one cannot destroy desire. If one tries to destroy desire, then he will become a dead stone. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Like that, how each one of these anarthas can be dovetailed. He says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane. If you have lot of desires to achieve something, then engage those desires in doing something for Krishna. Then the desires become purified and this leads to liberation. Only this can end our material life. All other theories to explain the varieties of life is bogus, like the Prabhupada writes. Okay. So like that, Swamibhava Bhumi says, even though the other philosophers may say that ultimately, you know, this is the cause, this is the cause, this is the cause, but, you know, do they really know what is the cause? He addresses in the next verse, he says, avyaktasya prameyasya nana shaktyadayasya cha navaychikirshitam tata kove data swasambhavam. My dear child, Narai Chikirshidam Veda, no one knows the plan of the Lord. And who is this Lord? Avyaktasya, he is invisible. Aprameyasya, he is unfathomable. Nana Shakti Udayasya cha, from whom various energies emanate. Kaha Swasvambhavam, and from whom you are also born. Okay. So, here he is indicating that amongst these various philosophers, some Some of them who say that karma is the cause, some of them who says that swabhava is the cause, some of them who says that time is the cause. Who amongst these philosophers exactly know who is the original cause? He says, no one. Since they are all ignorant of the root cause of everything. Okay? They are all seeing the immediate cause. Okay? The immediate cause they are seeing. In one sense, all of them are right. Swabhava is the cause. You cannot deny that. Kama is the cause. You cannot deny that also. Karma is the cause. You cannot deny that. Kala is the cause. You cannot deny that also. And in different circumstances, even he says, Bhishmadev says, Sarvam Kala Kritam Manni. So Kala is the cause, cannot be denied. Any of these things, you cannot deny them to be a cause. But ultimately, they are not the ultimate cause. Okay, that's what he is indicating. The Lord cannot be revealed by childish intelligence. Avyaktasya, that is the meaning. Avyaktasya means, he is invisible to those whose intelligence is limited. Of course, here intelligence means spiritual intelligence, not material intelligence. Apraneyasya. This is because the Lord cannot be measured by material proofs or material praman. The various shaktis such as kala, karma, swabhava, etc. they arise from the Supreme Lord. Nana shakti udayasya cha. All these various energies such as time, swabhava, karma, etc. they all arise from the Supreme Lord. Okay? Taking shelter of one of these shaktis, they argue. The Vyavaharikas say, time is the ultimate cause. Can you deny? You cannot deny that time is not a cause. When the right time comes, everything happens. But what they do is, they take shelter of one of these intermediate causes and they argue. Okay? They do not try to trace out the original cause, which is the Supreme Lord. Taking shelter of one of these shaktis, they argue. But there can be no argument about the cause of these various shaktis. But there can be no argument about the cause of these shaktis. No one knows the plan of the Lord. Nayasya karhichad rajan veda viditsitam. No one can understand the ultimate cause of all these shaktis, which is the Supreme Lord. Only the devotees can understand. Neither the Vyavaharikas nor the Charvaks, none of these people can understand. That's what is indicated here. Prabhupada also mentions the same thing in his purport, the same arguments that Vishnachakravarti Thakur has presented. Avyakta, Prabhupada talks about avyakta, you know, he is invisible. Avyakta means one cannot understand the Supreme Lord by means of scientific knowledge. Why? Because transcendence is not subject to direct experience. Using pratyaksha, you cannot understand transcendence. The Lord has to reveal himself just as the sun has to rise in the morning. Then one can see the sun and oneself. This realization is called Atmatattva. Can you establish the presence of sun at night using pratyaksha? You cannot. That's what Prabhupada is telling. This subject matter is like that. When the sun chooses to rise in the morning, then you need not prove anything. It's self-evident only. Similarly, when God consciousness or God realization dawns upon someone's heart, when the Lord desires, then automatically everything is understood. Otherwise, just by mere pratyaksha, one cannot understand the presence of the Supreme Lord. Lord has to reveal himself just as the sun has to rise in the morning. Then one can see the sun and one can see oneself. This realization is called Atmatattva.
Parasya Shakti Vididaida Shriyate. The Lord has multifarious energies. But material scientists may study only one of these energies. Therefore, a material scientist never gets the full picture. He is not wrong, but his understanding is not complete. But the process of devotional service is different. How? The devotee surrenders to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord is pleased to reveal Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. And this surrender is by the study of scriptures to the guidance of spiritual master. Only a devotee can understand the full picture because he surrenders to the ultimate personality and he reveals Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhagatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Like that. And Prabhupada explains that how the person gets, when he takes shelter of the scriptures through the guidance of the spiritual master, then one can understand these subject matters, like the Prabhupada writes. Nachaite putra kadratur hantaro danadanugaha visargadana yostata pumso daivam hikaranam. Therefore, my dear son, ete dhanada anugaha. Who is dhanada? Kuvera. Dhanada anugaha. Therefore, these followers of Kuvera, these yakshas, not bhatur hantaraha, they are not the killers of your brother. Pumso visarga adanayoho karanam daivam hi. The cause of birth and death of living entities is the Lord only. See, again you have to understand the purpose that Swayambhu Manu is trying to accomplish by establishing this philosophy. He is giving the right philosophy, but then what he is trying to accomplish, and Dhruva Maharaj also understands this, because Dhruva Maharaj can tell the same thing, na? When I am killing them, how can you say that I am the cause? Just because you think I am the cause of their killing, you have come to stop me. If you ultimately thought that Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause, then there is no point in you coming and trying to stop me. Then, using the same philosophy, Dhruva Maharaj can say, if the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause, why come here? Go to the Supreme Lord and try to stop him. So Dhruva Maharaj understands. He does not question. Okay? So, by trying to explain this overall picture, Dhruva Maharaj, Swayambhu Muni is trying to make Dhruva Maharaj understand that, you know, your act is improper. You are overdoing. That he has already mentioned. But again, by establishing these three doers, he is explaining that, you know, try to see the will of the Lord. The Lord is doing it, and he desired somehow that your brother die. And you have also taken revenge for that. Now you should stop here. That's what he is trying to say. But in trying to do that, he is establishing this whole science of, you know, how this whole material world functions. Who is the ultimate cause, and how the Lord uses various, his multifarious energies to accomplish various things. He is establishing all that. But ultimately he wants Dhruva Maharaj to stop his fight. Okay? Like that. So one should not use this reverse logic to say that if the yakshas are not the cause of the death of Uttama, then why should Dhruva Maharaj be the cause of the death of the yakshas? And you can say that, you know, Lord is the cause here also. Like that. The conclusion is given, Srila Vishnu Sahasrara Thakur writes, that the Lord is the creator and the Lord is the destroyer. Like that. Sa eva vishvam srijati sa eva vatihanti cha atapihi anahankaran najyate guna karmabihi. The Lord creates this universe, he maintains it and he destroys it.
So if ultimately the Lord is the cause, then can I blame the Lord for killing my brother? He says, Atapi anahankaran, the Lord performs all these activities without ego, without attachment. Okay. This Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita also that I am totally unattached. Navam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha. Name karma phale spriha indicates lack of ahankar. I do not desire to enjoy the fruits of my activities. I am totally detached. Okay. Iti mamya vijanati karma birna sabhyate. One who understands this secret about me and applies this in his own life, which means he also acts without desiring the fruit, then karma will not touch him also. So here, when the Lord acts to create, maintain and destroy, he is completely detached. That's what he says to Brahma also, Brahmaji also in the second canto. Srijami tapasai vedam, grasami tapasa punaha, bhivarmi tapasa vishvam, viryam me duscharam tapaha. The Lord says that, my dear Brahma, I create due to tapasya. I have my power to create is due to tapasya. My power to maintain is due to tapasya. My power to destroy is due to tapasya. And all my power comes from tapasya only. So which means that tapasya means detachment. Because otherwise, something that one has created himself, it is very difficult for him to destroy it. If one has very painstakingly created something, he himself, it is very difficult for him to destroy it. Not that he does not have the physical power to destroy it. Okay? But the detachment, that is what is described here as power. The power of detachment, one would not feel like destroying it because he has so painstakingly made it. So, the Lord says that, you know, I have that. My power comes from this detachment. Here, he says that, Atapi anahankaran, he does not do it with attachment or ego. Na ajjate gunakarma bihi. And nor is he affected by the actions of gunas. When a living entity acts, he acts being impelled by his ahankar. Okay? And he is affected by the influence, and he is influenced by the three modes also. He creates something influenced by the mode of rajas. He maintains something for some time, being influenced by the mode of goodness, and he destroys it being influenced by the mode of ignorance. But the Lord's creation, maintenance and destruction is not being influenced by the three modes. He is not affected by ahankar. Okay, vitya ahankar. Okay, so therefore you should not blame the Supreme Lord also. Okay, he is just like the judge who is passing out judgment. So Prabhupada writes in the purport about anahankaran. He says, there is no distinction between the Lord's body and his soul. Therefore, there is no question of wrong identification or ahankar. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, avajananti mam muda. When the Lord appears, when he performs, like once His Holiness Rumpad Swami Maharaj was sharing this, one of his experiences, that when he went to preach in one of the premier institutes, Yale University, in the United States, after he gave his class, one person who was a very sincere seeker, in fact he was the one who had arranged the whole program for Maharaj, but he was not a full-fledged devotee, but sort of interested in spirituality. So he asked, Maharaj, I have read Prabhupada's books, but one issue I have with surrendering to Krishna is that he has made it in such a way that he has, he says that you have your free will to act in your way, but then he says that if you use your free will to surrender to me, then you are taken care. If you use your free will not to surrender to me, you will be shot dead. What kind of free will is this? Is this really free will? This is like keeping a pistol on someone's head and telling, you have your free will to surrender or not. If you surrender, you live. If you don't surrender, I will shoot you. But still you have your free will. Is that really free will? How can I surrender? What can I do? I may eventually end up surrendering to Krishna, but how can I love that personality who is forcing me to surrender to him like this? What is the answer? Isn't that what Krishna does? You surrender to me. Mamevaya prapadyante mamamekantarandite. No problem. Otherwise, what does he say? That I ensure, what is that 16th chapter, what is that verse? Shubhami ajasrama shubham asuri shuva yonishu. I will cast him again and again and ensure that he does not come back. How is that? How can I surrender to such a personality who is forcing surrender? What is our understanding? Does Krishna do it or not? First thing. Isn't this there in the scripture or not? How do we understand? Yeah, go ahead. All of your answers are right, but I am trying to bring different aspect. Okay. Yeah.
It's not that he shot that, he's not facilitating.
But that kind of enjoyment will not give any you know what kind of enjoyment that is. Yeah. See, all of this is right, but the point that we are trying to bring out here is that the basis of that person's question or the assumption in that person's question is that if I act in a particular way, if when human beings act in a particular way, you can trace out the trigger of that particular action to be a particular emotion. Isn't it? Like if I, from a distance you see two people arguing very, you don't hear anything, but some very heated argument and suddenly one person slaps the other person. Okay. So you can,
he can easily conclude, come to some conclusion that there was a heated argument, this other fellow spoke something very inappropriate which, you know, hurt his false ego, and this fellow became angry and slapped that other person. So whatever external action can be traced to a particular stimulus, okay, and the assumption in this particular person's question is that when a human being acts in a particular way, his actions can be traced to a particular stimulus. It's a response to a stimulus. So his assumption is that the Supreme Lord's action is also a response to a similar stimulus. That is the assumption, isn't it? When we become angry, we slap because our false ego has been hurt. When the Lord is also seen to slap or act in a particular way, the inherent assumption is that his false ego is also hurt. So basically, avajananti, that is what Krishna says, avajananti mam moda manushim tanu ashritam. When I come in a human form and I act in a particular way, then people attribute human-like emotions to me. They also think that my false ego also has been hurt, that's why I am acting like this. I demand complete surrender. Like all of your answers, like he gave the example of the prodigal son. Okay. So that's the right understanding. In the sense that the living entity, it is not that the Supreme Lord makes the living entity to suffer like that, but the fact is the living entity is constitutionally like that. The Lord did not make the living entity like that. The living entity is constitutionally like that. He can enjoy only in conjunction with the Supreme Lord. And you gave the example of that, not that the Lord is making him suffer, but he is giving the facility for him to try it out and figure it out for himself whether it is. That is also right. That's what this whole material world is meant for. But the point that we are trying to see is, we are trying to attribute exact same human emotions to the Supreme Lord when the Lord appears in the form of a human. Because that is the unsaid assumption in that statement which this personality he presented to Maharaj. When the Lord appears and performs certain actions, you trace out that this must have been the impetus for the Supreme Lord to make such a statement. The Lord wants undivided attention, unconditional surrender. He is like a egomaniac. Okay. That is assumption. But it is not like that. Okay. The Lord's, that interface, between stimulus and response, there is an interface, the interface of one's mind, which stores all the previous experiences and swabhava, everything. So that interface that the living entities of this material world have and that interface the Supreme Lord has is not the same. Even though externally he looks like a human and the actions also look similar, stimulus is same, response is also same, but the interface is different. Someone may shoot the arrow at Krishna, Krishna may respond by shooting another arrow and kill that person. Stimulus, response. Same way on the battlefield, one kshatriya may shoot an arrow, the another kshatriya may get angered by that, he may shoot another arrow and kill him. Stimulus and response are same, but the interface through which instigates that response is not the same in the Supreme Lord and in the living entities. Okay. It could be compassion, it could be various other things, okay, whatever it may be, whatever may be that interface, but that interface is different. So in that statement of that boy, the inherent assumption is that the Lord also has the same interface, but he does not. That is the point. This is what we saw, one example of like, for example, we saw this example of one's false ego being hurt. You have hurt my false ego. Or in a kshatriya also, you have hurt me, you are testing my kshatriya prowess, now I will show you, I will kill you now. So that pride in one's own prowess, that is the interface in one sense, that's what I am calling. But when Krishna shoots, it is not that pride, it is also compassion. It is compassion on that living entity, that what he needs to elevate himself. Okay, that is that interface. Even though the stimulus and response may be exactly same, but that interface is different. What triggered that response is need not be false ego or pride, but that is what was assumed in that case of that person. Okay. That is what Krishna says, avajananti mam moda manushintanam. When I assume a human form and act like a human, respond to stimulus just like a human being, you assume that I also have, I am just like a human being only. Like that.
So there also, apparently it may as in that he did not give it last. So how do we
understand? What do you think would have happened to that washerman?
That is later thing, but
that is later thing. That is the most pivotal thing. That's why it may seem like that. That's what we are trying to understand here. What exactly happened to that washerman? Liberated. Did he deserve liberation? You understand, na?
So apparently it looks like that.
Washerman did not give clothes. Kamsa, if he had been in that situation, he would have exactly acted the same way, isn't it? If he goes to someone else's kingdom, he comes to the washerman, hey, give me clothes. The washerman said, no, it belongs to my king. What would Kamsa do? Take his gada or sword, chop off that person's head. That's exactly how Krishna also acted. But, what exactly was inside Krishna's heart? Was it hatred towards that washerman? It may seem like that, but it is not like that. It was compassion. It's always compassion. That's why Prahlad Maharaj addresses the Supreme Lord as Kripana Vatsala. He has Vatsala even towards such personalities like that. Therefore it is here it is mentioned, atapihi anahankaran najyate gunakarmabhi. But still he performs them without attachment or ego, which means that interface of false ego is absent in his response to stimulus like that. Same thing. What I told you is Maharaj's answer only, not my answer.
Okay.
Esha bhutani bhutatma bhutesho bhuta bhavanah svashakya mayaya yukta srijatyatichatapicha. Esha bhutani bhutatma, the Lord who is the soul in all beings, bhutesha, the controller of all beings, bhuta bhavana, and the maintainer of all beings, svashaktya mayaya yuktah, by engaging his energy of maya, he creates, maintains and destroys. Srijati, atti, chapati. Chapati nahi. Cha,
Pati. Okay. So here, why is Swayambhu Manu speaking this verse? To show that don't hold the Lord responsible, because he does not directly do all these things. Only through the agency of his Maya he does it. So he is the non-doer in that sense. He is bringing, coming back to that same point. This verse explains why the Lord is without attachment. Why the Lord is without attachment? Is the Lord without attachment in any activity that he does? No. Is the judge without attachment in any activity that he does? Within the court, yes. He should not act. A good judge acts without any attachment or hatred. But outside the court, in his own house, doesn't he perform any activity without attachment? No. With his own family, he is very attached. With his own children, does he act like a judge taking his mallet and wrong, like that? No. You know, he may act in a very affectionate way, very attached way to his own family members. But when he comes to the court, he cannot act, he does not act with attachment or hatred. Similarly, the Supreme Lord also, when it is with respect to this material world, it is without any attachment. Just like the second canto gives the example of sun and sun rays. Just like when sun wants to illuminate a particular place, it's not that the personality of Surya Narayan himself comes. He just sends his sun rays. Similarly, when the Lord wants to create, maintain and destroy this material universe, he does not personally do it, he just sends his energies to take care of it. That is what is indicated here. So the Lord is not attached. So the Lord, using his energy of Maya, he creates, maintains and destroys this material universe. Since it is the, I'll read again. This verse explains why the Lord is without attachment or material identity. Because he uses his energy of Maya. Since it is the external energy and not his Swarup Shakti that causes creation and destruction, he does not suffer identity with false ego in performing actions. Just like, I mean, it's not a perfect example, but just for understanding, please don't stretch the analogy. Like if Mukesh Ambani, same example I'll try to use. If Mukesh Ambani sees one person improperly using his Jio card, or if it is not properly used or wasted, whatever it may be, it, of course, real Mukesh Ambani may get affected by it, but in, let's say that he will not be really affected. Because he has done his job, he is getting his money. But if his own son, if there is any injustice done to him, or if there is any, if he has fallen sick, he is very much affected by it. So, but when it comes to the Jio card, he is not so affected. So, which means it does not affect him. Since it is the external energy and not a Swarup Shakti that causes creation and destruction, he does not suffer identity with false ego in performing actions. Just like Mukesh Ambani was detached when it came to that Jio SIM card. But when it came to his own son, even little fever or something, he is very much affected. Like that. So Prabhupada also writes here in the purport, Krishna is always associated with his internal energy but is aloof from his external energy. Therefore Krishna says, Matstani Sarvabhutani Nacha Aham Teshu Avastitah. He is always present in the spiritual world. Goloka Eva Nivasati. In the material world also, wherever he is present,
For example, Prabhupada says, in temples, they must be understood to be spiritual world, they are not material world. But one may say that, you know, the Lord is present in his deity form in the temples also. Prabhupada says that that temple is a spiritual world. It is not the material world. Because the Lord stays only in the spiritual world, like that, personally. Okay, like that. Yeah. They are parts only, but they are tatastha in the sense that they can go either way. Which means they have the free will. They are given the opportunity to choose either. They are not forced. It's not that once someone becomes, you know, a devotee, he is not allowed to come back to material world. It's not like that. So that sense, it is tatastha shakti only. But if he, garvapasi. Oh, acha, like that. Okay. Garvapasi. So, yeah, they are tatastha only, but if they choose to become Krishna's Nitya Parshadas or his associates, then Krishna treats them as his own. Like that. So it's 1:30. We should stop. We have another 9 verses. So, if you want, we can continue. If otherwise, we can continue in the evening. Anything is okay. I am okay. Continue, I am hearing. Whether now or in the evening, I am not able to hear. Now, complete. Okay. So, coming from Pankaj Goprabhu, I accept that it's everyone's opinion. So, oh, by today evening,
I'm not sure because it's a very long chapter. Now, how long is it? The next chapter? 52 slokas, no? I may not be able to complete the next chapter.
If you want to give me that test after I complete the chapter, then I can give a... Seems like you may have only one exam today. You that know? What should we do? You tell me. So let's continue in the evening only then, isn't it? Anyway, one exam only. So we might as well continue in the evening, complete. Question is same. 50 marks question.
The flow of the verses.
Flow of the verses, Swami Ramana's instructions to Dhruva Maharaj, and with important, some important points, and whatever verses is mentioned for you to memorize and quote, I don't know.
You can see the... Can you give me the...
Or any time in the, yeah, better 5 a.m. only, no? Because they can come after the shadow. 5 p.m., yeah.
What is 39:14? 13 and 14, correct, correct, correct. 13 and 14 you can quote, that's all. And then write the whole.
Some important purport points. You need not write all purport points, or you need not write the purport points from all the verses also. You can choose some at least 4 or 5 verses and some points from the purports you can quote. Important. Yeah, you can choose whatever inspires you.
So we'll meet again at 5 o'clock, or 5:15, whatever.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhagavatam ki.